the privilege to address you once again. Amen?
Amen.
I'd like to begin by asking you a very simple question. How many of you want to be happy? I think some didn't raise their hands. You don't want to be happy? It can't be. I think every one of us wants to be happy. There's a formula for unhappiness, and it is this. Unhappiness equals to your expectation minus the reality. That's a gap. You expect something to happen, but something else happened. And you are unhappy because you have not fulfilled your expectation. And because of that, we take actions, all sort of actions, in order to fulfill what we want. And that really leads to sin, wrongful actions caused by wrongful thoughts. Take for example, Adam and Eve. Your place in the Garden of Eden told you can eat of any of the tree, but just don't touch this one tree. What's their expectation? If I were there, I'd probably be asking, why can't I touch that tree? What's so special about that tree? Then the devil came around in the form of the snake, tricked me into thinking that God maybe is keeping something good for himself. As a result, I take the wrongful action because of my expectation. I expect to eat of all the trees in the garden. Why can't I eat of this one tree? And therefore, I take action to fulfill my expectation, and that is very sin. You take your children, Cain and Abel. Both of them know God. Both of them make offerings unto God. And what was their expectation? God would be very pleased with me. But it was not so. The reality is that God accepted the offering of Abel and rejected that of Cain. But what did Cain do in the end? I have a rival. God loved my brother and don't really love me. Get rid of my rival and then God will accept me. Wrongful thinking. And because of wrongful thinking, we get into all sorts of sins. Because of Adam and Eve's first original sin, everyone in the world are sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And sin are caused by wrongful thinking. It went so far that the thinking, why should we accept God? Is God real? Walk out into the world today, talk to people, and I would say most of the time, they reject God. They have no God in their lives whatever. And this is what Paul wrote. Let's put up the verse. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind, so that they do what ought not to be done. The problem with many problems, sounds very good, is that we think wrongly. You go to a counselor, what do you think the counselor is trying to do? The counselor will try to get you to think rightly. Once you think right, you feel much better. Your life is in control. You're in control of your life. Therefore, a depraved mind is what most of the people in the world without Christ has. Their minds are corrupted to the extent that they think there's no God. And when we put God out of our lives, what do we get? Look at America, look at Europe and so on. The mess in the world. One college boy wrote a poem and he got A+ for it. You like to know what the poem is? This is what he wrote. Next slide. Now I sit me down in school where praying is against the rule. For this great nation, America, under God finds mention of In scripture now, the class recites the violates the Bill of Rights. And any time I hit, I bow, become a federal member now. Next slide. Our hair can be purple, orange, or green. That's no offense, it's freedom sin. The law is specific, the law is precise. Prayers spoken aloud are serious fights. For praying in a public hall might offend someone with no faith at all. In silence alone, we must meditate. God's name is prohibited by the state. We are allowed to cast and dress like freaks and pierce our noses, tongues, and cheeks. They are not outlawed. They have not outlawed guns, but first the Bible. To quote the good book makes me liable. We can elect a pregnant senior queen and the unwed daddy of senior king. It's inappropriate to teach right from wrong. We have taught that such judgments do not belong. We can get our condoms and birth controls, study witchcraft and vampires and totem poles, but the Ten Commandments are not the law. No word of God must reach this crowd. It's scary here, I must confess, when chaos reigns, the school's a mess. So Lord, this silent plea I make, should I be shot, my soul please take. Amen. I think this poem clearly describes what's happening in America. But it's not only America. Chaos in the world is taking place because men in their depraved mind has rejected God. We just read about what happened in New Zealand. Right? That guy cannot be a Christian. A Christian will never do such a thing. And yet he's taking, acting as though he's a Christian, going against a Muslim. Friends, is against the basic principle of love. God is love. He created us in His image to love, to be people of love, and we are to live in the spirit of love. But that's totally what the world has got away from. Love is really absent in this world of ours. Everyone just cares for themselves. And what's the cause of it? Wrong thinking. So the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, in Romans 12:1, next slide, he says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and prove what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is the beginning of the 12th chapter. And Paul starts off the 12th chapter with the word therefore. He must be speaking about something and therefore come to a conclusion here. Therefore, I urge you to do this. Well, when we look back into the 11th chapter, the first 11th chapter of Romans, we see that it's the gospel of Christ. About how we have fallen When they're good, mommy will love him. Am I right? Or girl, be good. Daddy will love you. And that's what we think. We must be good in order to be loved. And then we go to schools. What happened? You want to be accepted and go to the next grade? You must pass your exams. Correct? You must pass your exams and do well in order to be accepted by the university. And therefore we find we have to perform. Then when you go to work, for us to be promoted, we must perform. So performance becomes the key, and we struggle to prove ourselves good and brings a lot of problems along the way. We want that promotion, we have to prove to our boss, so what do? We backstab each other and all sorts of things happen. That's because we think we must perform. But what is the truth of acceptance? It is this. Next slide. But God demonstrated His own love for us in this. While we're still sinners, Christ died for us. He did not wait for us to perform before He died, to be good before He died. He loved us irrespective of anything else. So love comes before performance. We think that we must be good, we must behave ourselves before our parents love us. But we should know the very moment we are held in our parents' arms, love begins to flow out of their hearts. We are loved irrespective of what. And yet people struggle. They have to prove themselves. And how do I show that I'm successful? I have to buy a good house, as big as possible. I have to buy a good car. I have to be well-dressed, and so on. And we struggle. We accumulate things to prove that we are successful. We have to be very logical in our thinking. What really is a car for? To bring me from one place to another, right? Yeah. Will a small car do the job? Yeah. So if a small car can do the job, why should I need a big car? What is a house for? A place where I can sleep. A place where I can cook and have my meals. A small flat will do. Does it do the job? Why should we need a big house? And we struggle to make money, no end to making money, no end to accumulating all the things just to prove that we are successful and be accepted by others. Often we forget, no matter what we can accumulate on earth, we can never bring on with us into eternity. So today, correct our value system. Know that God loves you irrespective of anything. Your parents love you, your bosses accept you, and I'm not talking about just perform anyhow. That's what anyhow. We must be on good behavior. We must do our jobs well, because the Bible says, in everything, do your best as always, doing it unto God. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gave me the strength. Now, people struggle to be contented. They are not happy with what they have. Why? They think that God is not blessing them. Friends, know this one thing. Everybody is equal in the sight of God. And God knows best as to what to give to us. Correct? So whatever we have, we should be contented. We should trust God in the whole matter. We don't understand why sometimes we want certain things and we don't get it, but sometimes we are just blessed when we need us. But God knows best, and we should trust Him. Trouble with people, we are not happy with what we have, no matter what. You know those celebrities in Hollywood, just making one film alone, some of them make more than $10 million, just for one movie. What do they do with $10 million? For me, I think I'll just quit work, invest the money wisely, and spend it in serving God. But what do these movie stars do? They don't stop making just one movie. They continue to make more and more movies. And no matter how much they have, they're not happy. They want more. People are just not contented with what they have. I don't know whether you know the politics of Malaysia. How many of you read the newspaper about Malaysia? Recently, the former Prime Minister Najib lost the last election. Okay? He is known to be a very corrupt guy. And now he's under investigation for the corruption and the stealing of the company, of the country's wealth. After he lost his election, they went to his house to search as to what he has taken from the country. And you know what they found? Boxes and boxes of handbags owned by the wife. I don't know how many boxes, but boxes of boxes filled with handbags. How many handbags does a lady need? And then you know, you heard of Ferdinand Marcos? Long ago in the Philippines? When he fell, because the people revolted and they called it people power, they went to his house and they found, you know what? Shoes owned by the wife. How many pairs of shoes can you wear? She has something like 3,000 pairs of shoes. If you want to wear one pair each day, I don't know how many years it'll take you. Why? There's an emptiness in the hearts of all human beings. Don't laugh at them. Think about yourself. Go back later this afternoon, go to your wardrobe and look at what you have in your wardrobe. Are there shirts, dresses, and all that you haven't touched in the last 6 months? What are they doing there? There's an emptiness in people's heart, and we're never contented with what we have. That's a whole problem. What is this emptiness? There's a void left behind when we are kicked out of the Garden of Eden and separated from God. That void is the love of God. There's an emptiness in our heart. It's the love of God that has been created when we were separated. to fill it up with all sorts of things, and they will never be happy. The only way that it can be filled up is the love of God, knowing God, knowing His love, and being a person of love. And in that case, you can actually be contented in all situations. Verse 13 of Philippians chapter 4, I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. I think that's one of the most misinterpreted verses ever. I can be Superman, I can be Iron Man, because God has given me the strength. Paul is not talking about that. Paul is saying, I can be happy, do all this, being happy whether I have little or plenty, through Him, Jesus, who has filled up my heart and given me the strength. That is what he's talking about. So today, know that that void in your heart has been filled up by the love of God. We don't have to go chasing after things like the rest of the world. We can trust God. Trust God in whether he gives us little or plenty. What is God after when if he brings us through a rough patch, painful moment? Know that he's building up our character. He's building us up. Without pain, there can be no gain. Without us going through trouble, we'll never grow in a faith in God. So trust God. Malachi chapter 3 verse 2 says this. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. You see, as a refiner and purifier of silver, he will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord as in days gone by, as in former years. Down here you find that Malachi is describing God as a refiner of silver. And a refiner of silver sits by the fire, watching the silver that is being refined. Why does he have to sit by the fire watching the piece of silver? It is because of this. 1 minute too late in pulling the silver out, the silver will be ruined. 1 minute too early, the silver will not have the shine that it should have. And someone reading this asked a scholar this question. How do we know whether God will just pull up when the silversmith will pull up the silver out of the fire? And the scholar studying all sorts of things, including refining of fire of silver, says this. The silversmith was pulled that piece of silver out of the fire the very moment he sees his image in the piece of silver. So God will pull us through difficult moments by sitting by, waiting, watching us. And the very moment he can see his image in us, he brings us out of trouble. So trust God that he knows best and be contented in all situations. How then shall we refine our minds from that of a corrupt mind to one that is living in the realm of God? First of all, change our value system. Know that we are loved and we are accepted even before we need to perform. Okay? I'm not saying that you should not perform. I'm saying that you should perform to your very best. But beyond that, you should know that God already accepted you. Everybody has accepted you. Okay? Secondly, be contented in all situations. Thirdly, don't compare yourself with others. The very moment you compare yourself with others, they're going to be unhappy. Right? And Psalm 37 verse 1 says this, do not fret because of those who are evil or be envious of those who are doing wrong. For like the grass they soon wither, like green plants they soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make a righteous stand, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. At the end of time, every single one of us has to stand before the Lord. Okay? And we have to give an answer for our life on earth. Those who may seem to be successful right now have to answer to God. And some of them may have rejected God. You know what their consequences will be. So, why should we envy them? At the end of the day, all have to stand before the Lord and give an account of our lives. Some may be rich right now, some may be successful right now, but in eternity, we may be more successful than them. So why should we compare ourselves with others? Walk right in the sight of God, walk in the spirit of love, because that's what God has created us to be. So get our thinking straightened out, renew our minds this day, and say, God, I love you, I know that you have accepted me, God, I'll be contented in all situations because I trust you. God, I know that I should not compare myself with others. Please forgive me for that. I'll live in the life in whatever you've supplied me with. I know that you're always blessing me. So be renewed in your mind this day. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you that you are love and you created us as beings of love. Father, we've gone away from the spirit of love when we fell into sin. Renew our minds, O God, and help us to know that you have accepted us even while we are yet sinners. And that we can be content in every situation, trusting you because you know what is best for every single one of us. And that we do not have to compare ourselves with others again. We just have to put our trust in you. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, right now we say, Pastor, I've been struggling to be accepted. Struggling for many, many years. But I know the truth is, I'm loved by God. And that is more than enough for me. Help me, Pastor. Pray for me that God will help me to renew my mind. If that's your prayer, will you just raise your hand and pray for you right now? You say, yes, I want to renew my mind right now. I want to know that I'm loved, that I'm accepted. I don't have to struggle like the rest of the world for acceptance. And right now, where you are, say, yes, God, I can trust in you. I can be contented in all situations. You've been struggling with contentment and unhappy about certain things. Now is a time where God can help you. You say, yes, Pastor, please pray for me. If that's you, will you just raise your hand? Say, Pastor, please pray for me right now. I'll be content in all situations. And if you have been comparing yourself with others and feeling unhappy about it,